Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Tell Squad podcast, episode 48, 2K podcast downloads, how to speak your truth. This episode covers a milestone on the podcasting journey and three things that helped me go from social anxiety to speaking my truth. Apologies on this one, there'll be no YouTube version, and that's my own fault. I'm not fully on my routine. I try to do the podcast every Thursday because I usually have the free house and I can take over the sitting room and set everything up properly there, because one of my roommates works from home Monday and Friday, and I'm actually doing it now on Saturday. So I usually try to have most of my work done before Saturday, because who knows who's going to be here or what's happening. So yeah, 11 o'clock Saturday morning, not what I want, but as I said, committed to doing the podcast now every week, whatever it takes. So yeah, I'm up in my tiny little desk in my room here. Just about fit the laptop and the oh my god, words are failing me. I'm not full of energy for this one either. Podcast mic, holy lord. So yeah, we're going to get it done, just the podcast version for this week. We'll get the YouTube back next week. So in this one, go through, oh sorry, the milestone first. I was going to jump straight into the three points. The milestone, yeah, so 2K podcast downloads. It's actually like 1982 or something like that, but yeah, round that up to 2K. So I only noticed that on Audio Boom. So that's how I manage the podcast. I can go in there every week and just see that Hannah, the girl who does a bit of part-time work for me making the podcast and a few other things, she uploads them there, so I can just see that they're uploaded and check the stats and stuff. But yeah, I see it here now. So 1K all-time listens is what's on the podcast there. And then if you add YouTube, so I've been on and off with uploading the YouTube ones as well, but when I checked all the ones for the podcast, it was 982. So if you combine the two of them, as I assume people aren't listening on Spotify and then go and watching the one on YouTube, maybe the very odd person, but that's coming up around 2K all time listens on the podcasts, listen slash watch. And like, I did a post on this during the week. It sounds kind of cool, but then like when you actually go through it properly, like it's not cool at all. Like it's not quote impressive like at all in the podcasting realm, because usually you hear those kind of numbers, like all these downloads, and usually that's per month. I'm talking about forever. And that's over 47 episodes over about 3 or 4 years from start and stop and like the first episodes I can see were back in 2021. So even, look, it's good to just show, because I like to just be transparent and show that the path's never easy. Like, you don't need to worry about trying to be the best. It's just not settling, living true to yourself, and just doing the things you want to do. So in 2021, I did 4 episodes. Four out of 52, if I was trying to do it every week. In 2022, I did one episode. Oh my god. And then in 2023, I did 12. And then, so if you think of that, 2021, I missed 48 weeks. 2022, I missed 51 out of 52 weeks. 2023, I missed 40 out of 52 weeks. 2024, I've missed 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 and 5, 11. I've missed 11 weeks. And that's why I said I'm going to stay consistent now for the rest of the year. And hopefully going forward. And finally, you know, just do it every week. So as you can see there, crazy drop-offs. Because other things were going on. We won't go into it now. But there you go. So 2K listens all the way back from 2021 to 2024 over 47 episodes. And when you do the math on that, I think it came out at around 42 listens per episode. So then, look, when you've all those stats, some people are getting, you know, 10,000 a month downloads. I got 2,000 over 4 years and 47 episodes. So I was just doing the post on that to kind of bring it into reality. And the frame that I had there, which I'll never forget from someone, was, yeah, 40 people, what's the point in that? But the frame was, imagine if 20 people came into your sitting room every week, sitting down, staring at you intently, waiting for your wisdom. Still not a big deal? You know, and it was just a great frame, because like most people would be sweating, nervous. 20 people just come into your sitting room. Like imagine 42, would they even fit in your sitting room? 42 people there every week, sitting down, staring at you intently, waiting eagerly to hear what you have to say to help them. You know, so that's how I view it. And I put up as well, I'll move on now in a sec, but I put up the philosophy on my content. Same from episode 1, same now. Like, I'm one person or 1 million people I don't fucking care. Like, I'm doing it for the younger me, for that one person. I'm going to try and give them as much value as I can in the 10 or 15 minutes or however long, and that's it. And I think of it like throwing pebbles in a river. I just do that every day, throwing a few pebbles, and majority of the time it's just a few ripples and then it dies out. But I know further down the stream that I can see those little ripples turn into massive waves for some people and end up changing their lives. And I know that because that's what's happened to me many times from listening to other people's podcasts, other people's free content, and they don't even know who I am. Like, the best example, that would be Jocko Willink. If you follow me, you know how much he's inspired me, wearing the Discipline Equals Freedom top, etc. Helped me take ownership in my life. And I only noticed, probably why I called it the Physical Freedom Program, because I loved his Discipline Equals Freedom motto. So yeah, massive impact on my life, you know. Consumed so much of his free content, got some of his paid stuff as well as books, etc. Like, he doesn't have a clue who I am, you know. He doesn't even know that, but he's changed my life. So I know this will be happening to some of you guys, and that's why I'm doing it. So that was it on the update for the podcast. And then going into today, yeah, so the second part then was three things that helped me go from social anxiety to speaking my truth. So this is something I speak about sometimes, and again, something I'm very passionate about, because it is easy to click into my Instagram and be like, oh, you know, you watch some of the, even the podcast clips, and I was going to say I look confident, but I am confident now, but just even me watching it sometimes, I'm like, Jesus, that's a bit mad, because I used to be like shy and embarrassed most of my life. We'll say up to my early 20s. Look, I'm 32 now, so that's why, yeah. I have a good kind of 7-8 years now of building up the confidence and over that. But I just want to show people I've come from not to Z, but like A, up a lot higher on that, same as mobility, so that people can improve this too. It's definitely not something that came naturally to me. I really, really struggled and never spoke my truth. I just barely said anything because I was just kind of so shy and embarrassed. So I'll go through three things that helped me at that social anxiety stage to start speaking my truth, and then it obviously snowballed from there. So number one, the biggest regret of humanity. I talk about this a lot in relation to the Lifestyle Design University. You'll see the link on the website. And if you haven't heard me talk about it, it's ingrained in my brain. I don't even need to look it up. The biggest regret of humanity is, I wish I lived a life true to myself, not the life others expected of me. That's it. So You're heading towards your deathbed with regret, basically, if you're not speaking your truth. That is the number one regret, is living the life that others wanted you to live and not living the one that's in your heart and your soul, doing the things you want to do, saying the things that you want to say. So when people, like, it even happened again this week, because I'm starting to teach jiu-jitsu now, which is great. Talked about that in some other podcasts. And I'm meeting new people that do the morning class that I haven't met, and obviously it's a bit of introduction and getting to know them, etc. And of course, yeah, what do you do? And all this stuff comes up, and I have to kind of tell my story in a way, and I'm nearly like, look, I'll just send you this documentary and you'll know, but look, that's what you do, and getting to meet new people. So of course, yeah, the story comes up about me being a coach, and then, you know, people ask, and what, you know, were you always a coach, or what did you do before? And the whole story about quitting my job came up there again this week. And this lad, Colin, says what most people say. And they're like, oh man, that was very courageous. That was very brave of you to quit that job and go for this and all. And look, I do get it. I know it's nearly, isn't it, and the kind of Irish thing to play it down, because I'd be like, look, that's not kind of how I didn't think I was very brave. But it's a flip here that's going to be important for you. I don't think I was, quote, brave there. I do understand that frame, and you could say I was brave. But the way I see it is, I was actually terrified. That's how I view it. But the difference is, I was just terrified of something different than most people. Because we all have fears, but what do most people fear? Like I did, being embarrassed, make a fool of yourself, have people think you're an idiot, not be popular, have no money, have no success, have no status, all these things. I get it, because that was me for, as I said, up to my early 20s. But once I started doing the self-development work and figuring out what I want to do with my life, my fears changed. My fear was now the biggest regret of humanity. I feared not living a life true to myself, continue to live this life that others expected of me. So I was terrified of that. Why? Because I already had just given up on my soccer career when I had good talent, because everyone would be telling me and yada yada, but I didn't follow it through, didn't have the don't settle attitude, and I quit and gave up on it, and I had massive regret that affected me for years, which I never even realized. So I had a good experience of what happens when you have big regrets and you don't live true to yourself and go for things. So when I came around the second time, I was terrified of having those feelings again because it was horrendous. I couldn't imagine anything worse, to be honest. So I was terrified. And that's what made me act. Because humans, we either run from fear or we run towards value. And the more potent one is running away from your fears. If I want you to do something now, would I be like explaining all this motivational stuff about how you can reach your potential? Or would I just put a gun to your head and say, fucking do this now or I'm going to shoot you in the head? Pretty easy. Or if I had your family and said, I'm going to blow up your house with your family if you don't do this thing for me now. So like we act from fear. Fear is the biggest driver of humans and of other species. So I just had a big fear, but for something different than other people. So to bring that back for you, it'll be a lot easier for you to speak your truth when you start diving into these things and realize you're going to be on your deathbed with massive regrets. It's going to happen if you don't start speaking these things. Like the top five regrets of humanity is where that's coming from. In that top five is also, I wish I expressed my feelings. I think that's number two or three, which is the same thing like living true to yourself and expressing your emotions. They're linked together. The two of them are in the top five regrets in the world. So like, yeah, you just kind of, I'm lucky to live that in my younger years from the soccer career, I'll say, but you just need to realize those things. This is going to be happening to you if you don't start speaking your truth. So that was the first thing. I had different fears than most people. I felt like I was terrified. That's why I did it. But I can see how, if you look at it through a different lens, it looks like it's courage. Second point, nobody cares anyway. I was going to say, this one is huge. They're all huge. But like once you understand this one too, your beliefs will change and your emotions come through the lens of your beliefs and then your actions as well. So I used to believe, like most people with social anxiety, like everyone's looking at me, everyone's focusing on me, oh, and then you're just so self-conscious. Then I used to just get embarrassed and then I'd be like, this is silly, I'm getting embarrassed and I'm only just entering the room and no one's even said anything to me and now I look like an idiot and my face is just burning and I haven't even said anything yet. So just all those kind of thoughts, just complete anxiety and just self-conscious. And obviously before going to meet anyone, my brain would just be trying to come up with things to say and just constant worrying about the future, which is essentially what anxiety is. So three belief-shattering learnings here. Number one was, yeah, nobody cares. Nobody gives a fuck. Like just seeing stats on social studies of people who, like when you look at others or when something happens that you're back focusing on yourself in like, what, 5 seconds, 10 seconds? I can't remember all the stats. I'm not going to pull them up here now. But that I remember the general points of these studies was just that no one actually really cares. Like everyone has so much shit going on that they can barely manage their own stuff. And like when you, all these examples make so much sense if you think of it from your point of view. Think of the last time someone tripped or someone got embarrassed or made a fool of themselves. Were you thinking about that the whole day? No, you were like, maybe you laughed or maybe you felt some empathy for them if they were getting embarrassed. And like 5 seconds later, 10 seconds later, you're worrying about yourself. Oh fuck, what are people thinking about me? Or you're worrying about the bills or you're worrying about your relationship problems or whatever. You're back worrying on yourself. So when I thought about that, I'm like, oh yeah, so I'm just worrying about myself the whole time. I don't care about like what's happening with anyone else. I'm just so worried about myself. So that made a lot of sense, realizing that most other people are like that too, or everyone is. They're all focused on themselves. And the second thing then is, even, let's say even if there's a small percent of people that really did care about me for some reason and were like, you know, really focusing on me all the time, there was studies showing that when someone gets like shy or embarrassed, that people actually like them more because they're humble people. Like the opposite of that would be a big cocky, arrogant lad coming in, taking over the show, you know, just peacocking and doing all that kind of stuff. Do people like that? People don't like that. You know, so that's how I used to view it. I'm like, there's two paths here. One path is people don't give a shit anyway, so this is up, but like no one cares. Do whatever you want. It doesn't actually matter to anyone. The world goes on. And then the second one, okay, let's say people do care. They're actually going to like me more because they'll see that I'm humble and I'm not like this arrogant prick going around. You know, I'm just struggling to be myself and people usually feel empathy for you. So that's it. It's like people don't care or else people are going to like me more. So, you know, what am I worrying about? And then the third point on this, which I only saw years later, I think it was from Mark Manson, maybe it was an Instagram post, but it made so much sense, called the spotlight effect. And that's what we feel as well. Like people with social anxiety, we feel that spotlight effect where we enter a room and we feel like there's a spotlight on us. Like, we feel like everyone's looking at us. Yeah, everyone can notice everything about us. And that's not true. But the frame here, which was so interesting, because it really triggered me at the start, but then as I dove more into it, like, but I actually agree with it. Like, it makes sense. Why, like, the lens here was taking it off, oh, the humble person, to the kind of narcissistic lens. Like, why do you think everyone actually cares about you anyway? Like, when you walk into a room, why do you feel that spotlight? Why do you think you're, like, so important to everyone else's life that they're really focusing on you so much and really care about what you're wearing, what you're saying, all this kind of stuff? Do you see what I mean? It's a bit of a, you know, a bit self-obsessed there in a way of just like, man, like, yeah, why would they be caring about you? Like, you know, you're, the world doesn't revolve around you, you know? So, as I said, trigger me at the start, but then the more you look into it, you're like, yeah, like, it is a bit just so focused on yourself. And not kind of zooming out, you know, to the whole world level. Like, look, it's so much happening in the mind going on here. So those three things were great. Look, nobody cares. Then if they were caring, they're going to like you more anyway because you're more humble. And spotlight effect then, yeah, look, the world isn't revolving around you anyway. So those three things were the start of me getting over that and starting to speak my truth. And number three then, hate is projection, not personal. So I suppose this is more when you're stepping up now and you're starting to speak your truth more. This is inevitable. Once you start speaking your truth, now look, you don't have to go online and do it. Obviously do if you want. But even in your own personal life, this is going to happen. Okay, so no matter if it's online, in person, wherever, if you start speaking your truth, you're going to get pushback. So that's what this point is about. So hate is projection, not personal. So we'll finish up with these few points. What do I have? 3 points here. So on the projection, if you don't know what that is, it's coming from psychology. So essentially, we have a lot of parts of ourselves, there is some parts of ourselves that either we didn't get love for as a kid, or that people mocked us, or maybe the parents gave out to us, so we shove those parts deep down. So we shove them deep down and we repress them, and now we don't even know that we have those parts of ourselves. And then what we do is when we see that in other people, it triggers us and we give out to them. But it's really because it's a part of ourselves that we don't like. Because as I said, you know, maybe parents give out to us for it or whatever else happened. Okay, so that is projection. So that is what happens a lot of the time when people are giving out to other people. It's actually a part of themselves that they haven't accepted. And that's the Carl Jung quote, like, what irritates us in others can lead us to an understanding. What irritates us in others can lead us to a deeper understanding of ourselves. Yeah, that was the line. And, like, I'll give you a few examples here. Like, I was called selfish one time, and that really triggered me. This was an ex-girlfriend. As I'm saying, I was more the shy, humble kind of guy. Thought I was, you know, a really good person, the nice guy doing everything for everyone else. Not really looking after myself, no boundaries. And one day she called me selfish. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, all, you know. So, but actually, like, reflect on that years later. After, look, did therapy route, did mental freedom work, went to different coaches, self-awareness coach, etc. Learned so much about myself. Yeah, I literally went through what I explained to you a minute ago of I repressed selfish parts of myself. Hence, I didn't put myself first. I put other people first because I thought that's what a good person is meant to do. And I got praise for that, like from my parents, from my friends. So that's what you get love for as a kid. That's more what you're going to do. And then when I did actually have some selfish things I did in the relationship, once she called them out, I couldn't accept them. Because to me, I'm like, I am not, you know, I'm a good person. I'm not selfish. I give to others. Just very kind of immature beliefs, to be honest. We all have selfish parts of ourselves, which you'll realize over time. So that was it. I've loads of different examples of that when I look back, that I had parts of myself I didn't accept. So even if I saw it in others, if I saw other people being selfish, that would trigger me, and sometimes I might say it. Or else if people said it to me, that would really trigger me too. Next point then, sorry, we're still under projection. There's just one other mini point. And this is a funny thing. Once you start speaking your truth, what are people going to say? Like, you know, the background of me now will say, being kind of humble, shy, all this type of stuff. And then eventually starting to speak my truth, and then coming all the way through to, like, look, I can speak it with full confidence and belief and conviction and go for it and not give a shit. And what do I get called now? I get called cocky and arrogant and all these other stuff online as well. So, which is funny, isn't it? But because you know all I've told you, I do have those sides of myself. Like, I have a selfish side, and I have a selfless side. I have a humble, shy, embarrassed side of myself, which was the one I lived in most time. I also have a confident side. I also have an arrogant side. I also have a cocky side. I have all these parts of myself, and I've gone into them all, and I've accepted them all. So it doesn't trigger me. That's why it doesn't trigger me when people say that. I'm just like, yeah, I know. Like, I don't have that part of myself. What about it? Like, but I know from their point of view, they haven't accepted that side of themselves. And like, I have so many examples of this. One that really stuck in my mind. I used to get very triggered when I would see fitness influencers putting up ripped photos online. Because I'd be like, yeah, I have a six pack. I'm ripped. But like, I'm not just putting that up. That's cocky. That's arrogant or whatever. But then through doing all the work, through realizing all this stuff, the odd time, I don't go putting that up, but like the odd time I've had, maybe once a year, once every 6 months, I'll put up physique things or whatever. And yeah, like that's what inspires people. You know, it's just, again, I noticed how that was projection. That was projection thinking, oh, that's selfish, etc. When it can actually inspire people. So there's always going to be different lenses on it. But to finish up on that, like being called, you know, cocky, arrogant, etc. There's a great line here. When you're below people, let's say like when you're, you know, shy, embarrassed, people, they'll more pity you. Like they can't, like no one will be jealous of you in that sense. So there was a great line, I can't remember it exactly, but it was like, pity is for free, jealousy has to be earned. And it's so true. Like, people only get jealous of you or start giving you hate if you're starting to rise above them in different ways and they're feeling a bit triggered, trying to pull you down. Or else, like I said, they're seeing parts of themselves in you that they don't like and they're getting triggered by it and they're giving out to you. So it's so funny. Yeah, like people weren't, you know, coming over and mocking me or you know, would you stop being so shy and humble there? And, you know, no one says that. But then, of course, when you start speaking your truth, oh, who are you to say this? You know, so it's just so funny. Once you do all this mental freedom work, it all starts to make so much sense. So that was projection. So two more mini points here. What was this one? Oh, yeah, we had an example this week, actually. I've got called so many different things over the years, which, look, it's fine. That's when you put yourself out there, that's what you're going to get. But what was it last week? Actually, called Christy Moore by someone on TikTok. So I was like, oh, that's a new one. Haven't heard that one. And then I didn't actually get it, but then I just looked up Christy Moore and I was like, oh, yeah, it's that guy. And I'm like, it's probably because I ramble. Like, I assume that's what it is. Or if I'm going off very passionately, it was on like a kind of ranty video and I went off in a few different directions with a few uhs and ahs and all this. And I was like, oh, yeah. I get it now. But again, look, I'm human. Obviously, we get the little tinge when someone says something. But then when I look into it, I've actually already accepted that part of myself. I even have it here, like in my podcast notes. Learnings. Slow down a bit. You talk very fast. When I watch myself back, like that I ramble and I talk too fast and I get kind of carried away in the passion. So like that was literally the first critique of myself years ago when I watched back my podcast episode. So that's what that guy is saying. And he's right. He's like, I do. I could be a lot more kind of clear and concise, but the passion kind of takes over and I go off on these rambles and that's fine. So hence, like, it didn't trigger me. Like, I've accepted that part of myself. If I hadn't, that would be very triggering and it'd be very tough to keep going with it, you see? So, the self-awareness is massive. It really is the starting point of everything. And then I also want to throw in there, I won't sit here like an angel pretending that I've never sent a comment like that. Like, there's only one I remember. And it may only have been one. I honestly can't remember. But I do have a flashback of me and my friends in college, you know, in pre-drinks, acting the bollocks, like drinking, music, blaring, blah, blah, blah. And we used to watch, you know, Jersey Shore back in the day to get you pumped up for college nights out. I guess we'll be showing our ages here. If you don't know what that is, you're either too young or too old. If you do know what it is, you're probably around my age in the 30s. Excuse me. And I can't remember yet, but we sent some comments to one of the Geordie Shore guys online, like mocking them. And I don't I don't know, was it from my Facebook account or was it from someone else's account? But yeah, just those kind of hate comments that I had got, like the Christy Moore one and all these other ones I've got. So, look, it's funny when it comes full circle. Like, look, I was, you know, whatever, you're 20, you're drinking, you're like, you don't know your ass from your elbow, to be honest. Like, didn't know what I was doing. Not that that's an excuse, but it just shows, look, we're all human. I'm not perfect. No one's perfect. I've done a lot of things in my life that I wouldn't do if I could go back. Because, yeah, I'm sure he got a lot of hate. People, all those guys are getting lots of hate and stuff online as well, and it's not nice to get. So even just remembering that, it's literally the same thing here. Like, I clicked into the guy who sent the Christy Moore comment. It's like some 16-year-old lad in school, you know what I mean? And I'm just like, you don't know your arse from your elbow when you're that age. Like, I wouldn't even hold it against people, you know, when you're so young and barely know what's going on. So last one then, how to deal with them. Okay, so we're still under hate is projection, not personal. I explained projection, first part. Second part there, we just went through some examples. And now the third part, how to deal with them. Okay, so now you're coming on a lot. You've understood the biggest regret of humanity. You fear not speaking your truth. You start speaking it. Then as you go along, you learn nobody cares anyway with the three beliefs I gave you. And then as you're starting to speak your truth a lot, now you're getting hate and stuff. And the last part here is how to deal with them. So look, this is what I've done. Usually three different routes. So I either give the person a harsh truth back, I mirror their energy that they give me. The second one is I ignore them. That's the one I do the most of the time. And then the third one is I agree with them. So I either like give them a harsh truth back and challenge what they've said, I ignore them, or I agree with them. And that's pretty much it. Majority of the time it's ignore, depending on who, like, it depends on who it is. That's the easiest way to say it. Depends on who it is. If it's just, you know, like the 16-year-old kid or whatever, like, just let it go. I think I just put in a laugh and emoji. Let it go. Like, yeah, I don't care. So on the harsh truth back, this is where I mirror their disrespect. On, like, I'm going to give you one example here that pops into my mind. There's many ones, but this is probably the best one to explain it to you. Online creates such a weird dynamic where simple things go out the window that people just think they can abuse other people with zero consequences. Well, that's because there is zero consequences. People wouldn't be saying things to me on the street if they saw me that they'd be saying online. I can guarantee that. So, because there's no consequences, you can hide away under some silly username with no picture, no one knows who you are, and you can just, as I said, project and make yourself feel a bit better, because obviously they don't have too much going on themselves. But yeah, it's very disrespectful, basically, the way that these comments come in. Just think about that. It's a person you've never met. Essentially, like I did, or we did to the Geordie Shore guy. Like, we've never met this guy, and you're just sending some hate. Like, very disrespectful stuff. So, the example that I have here was, I can't remember exactly. Was it last year? And I was putting up something, and again, it linked into the other thing. I was putting up something about, was it a newsletter? Or this newsletter I wrote, and a lot of people liked it, or that I wrote a lot of newsletters in the last year or something. Or like, I can't remember what, but basically he was going on about, like, you're cocky, you're arrogant, etc. And the initial message, like, this guy followed me and we never had any interactions before, so he'd never messaged me, I'd never messaged him. So his first message to me was, you think you'd put up more stuff about your clients? Stop talking about yourself. You might get more clients then. Something like that. And again, so for this one, you know, it wasn't a little kid, it wasn't whoever, and I was like, harsh truth coming back here. And before we even talked about that, the first few lines was, did your mother not teach you any respect? Do you just talk to randomers on the street and come out with disrespectful lines? You don't even introduce yourself or anything like this. Is this how you act in the world? Why do you think it's different online? You know, and that's why, look, the harsh truth is, stand up for what you believe in and say these things. Most people like this, they send this shite to everyone. And people haven't done the work on themselves and they can't deal with this stuff. But, like, I've done the work, I can deal with it. If you want to talk about it, let's talk about it. You know, so obviously I wasn't expecting, like, I know how this is going to go. I already knew, I'm going to write back to this guy. He's not going to respond because it's going to be such a pattern interrupt. People are like, oh, fuck, I haven't even thought about this, or geez, that actually probably was a bit disrespectful, or even because I'm coming back with a lot of logic, he's trying to win this argument. He's not going to win this argument. So he didn't write back. So, like, that was even the first paragraph. I don't even need to say more. But then that was the first paragraph. Second one then was, you have client stuff up sometimes. Other times I put up stuff about myself. I actually just like sharing my journey, like I'm doing now with this podcast. If people like it, they do. If they don't, they don't. By the way, who are you to say anything? This is my page. It's not your page. I don't do what other people want me to do, hence the biggest regret. I live the way I want to live, put up the content I want to put up. If you don't like it, unfollow. If you do, stick around. By the way, you probably should hurry up now. You probably want to ring RTE and tell them to change their schedule, or maybe, you know, get on to Joe Rogan and tell him what you don't like and how he should do his podcast. You know, again, just giving him fucking disrespect back, because he's giving it to me. And, like, again, send him those few paragraphs, showing him he's disrespectful, showing him how illogical it is that you're writing to me, telling me, oh, show me your business with all your clients there, you know. I've about fucking, what, worked with hundreds of people, there's about 40, 50 great reviews there that I put up during the week as well, you know. So, again, nothing back. I knew nothing was coming back, you know. So, I'm passionate about that too, because around that time, through the Lifestyle Design University, I had helped a few people go from other jobs to coaches. One from like finance job to a coach, or the one from like a software job to a coach. And they were just getting started online. Sharing content. Just at the start of this journey, you know, starting to speak their truth, starting to put out online. And I was just thinking, what if one of these guys gets a message from this guy? That could end their journey there. Because it's very tough. Like, as I said, I do a lot of work on this. It's very tough getting these when you're starting out. It's fine for me now, but yeah, starting out. So that's why sometimes I give a harsh truth, or sometimes I stand up and say what needs to be said, because now that guy, he might change his mind now. He might not send those type of messages anymore. Maybe he will. A lot of them probably will, but some of them won't. And then maybe in that case, he'll stop going on and saying that to other people and affecting other coaches putting up stuff too. So there you go. That's kind of the most recent example of that. And then for the ignore, yeah, look, you've better ways to spend your life than arguing with people online. Most, like 99% of people who send you these messages, they're not looking for an open debate. They're not looking for an open debate. Like, they're literally just writing because they're projecting or getting out their own anger and all this stuff. Like, you could be the smartest man in the world with the best argument in the world. It's not going to go anywhere. You know, it's that kind of line of, you don't get down into the muck and roll around to the pigs, like, you know, no one's going to win there. So that's why I just ignore most of the time. Better ways to spend my life than wasting energy on something that's not going to change. I'll put it towards you guys, put it into the podcast, into the content, into actually helping people out that want to be helped. And then the last one on agree. I love the line here of, like, there's only tension if you push energy back in the opposite direction. So think of that harsh truth guy. There was tension there because he went 80% at me, and I went 90% back at him. So that's why, yeah, a lot of tension there, and then he was like, oh, fuck, wasn't expecting that, and didn't write back. But imagine if I just said, oh, man, that's, you're actually dead on, you're actually right there. Cheers, thanks for that, man. What would he say then? You know, he'd probably come with more. He'd probably come with more stuff, or else he'd just be like, oh, okay. But, like, there's no tension. There's no argument there, because I haven't pushed energy back in the opposite direction. I've agreed with him. So, like, that's actually what I did with the guy who called me Christy Moore. I basically just put a laugh and emoji. I'm like, that was funny. I'm like, yeah, cool. I agree. That was funny. And then, yeah, nothing, you know, nothing. So, there you go. Harsh truth, ignore, or agree. So to finish up then, I was, yeah, talking about this last week, the Physical Freedom Program membership. So that's what I'm working on now in the mornings. So because I did the jiu-jitsu class, I'm getting up at 5:30 to do those. And then on the other days, I'm just getting up at 5:30 anyway, getting a few hours in, each morning, building this membership. So I'll just run through it again in case you didn't hear last week. So I'm building the Physical Freedom Program membership. My main one-to-one coaching is the Physical Freedom Program. It's helping people overcome chronic pain and injury and reaching their athletic potential. So that's my main program. That's mainly what I've done the last 5 years. And I'm going to be turning that into a membership style now. So it's going to include all the education and programs from the one-to-one coaching into a cheaper membership platform that anyone can access. And I really want to focus on this for the next few years. Like, there's been loads of people over the years couldn't afford the coaching, or like other reasons now that I can't actually think of. But yeah, obviously money is one of the main ones too. So if you can't afford it, it's going to start around 22 a month and up somewhere towards 50. Okay, so anyone will be able to afford it, no matter if you're trying to save for a house or if it's just a young kid, anyone's going to be able to afford this. So we're going to be launching in December. So around, 5 weeks from now, €22 a month. on launch in December, and then, as I said, from January onwards, haven't decided yet, it'll go up some 40-something, probably maybe 46, 48, something like that. But the ones who join in December, you'll keep the lower monthly price forever. Okay? So that's going to give them to you guys. Look, the ones who, I don't know what the word is, don't know if I like loyal followers, is that what we call it? Or just people interested in my stuff on the podcast, on the newsletter, and the ones following Instagram and stuff, you're the ones who'll get that. And then if you come in, that's the price you get forever. And what's going to be in there? We have six sections. So we have the instructions, then we have the Physical Freedom Foundations, that's the education I give clients, then the Physical Freedom Foundations program, that's what I start every client off on, no matter if they're a granny just trying to walk or someone aiming for the Olympics, start in the same place, getting the basics, the foundations. From there, then, we go on to sport-specific programs. So that's when I branch people off, depending on what their sport is. They want to get back to the gym, they want to get back to field sports, soccer, Gaelic, curling, etc. Or they want to get back to martial arts, like jiu-jitsu, kickboxing, Muay Thai, whatever. So programs for each one of those. And then there's also going to be strength and conditioning programs in here too. So I'm also a strength coach and do conditioning. So an S&C coach as well, which I don't really promote so much because I usually take a person from chronic pain injury. Then in the whatever, 3 to 5, 6 months, once they overcome that, I usually start strength training people then and doing conditioning with them to get them back to their sport in the best shape possible. So that's what I'm offering here. It's not just like the rehab programs to help you overcome the chronic pain injury. There's going to be programs to take you all the way up to your athletic potential in your chosen sport. So in the strength conditioning section, there'll be basic ones up to elite levels as well. Just like I've done it myself, as you know, look, all the chronic pain injury, couldn't do anything. Now I'm, you know, hands on push-ups, one arm chin-ups, front splits, elite mobility and strength levels and cardio levels as well, and back at jiu-jitsu and things that I love. So that's what I want to do for you guys as well. I think cover all there, have I? I'll be giving you more updates as we go on. Look, 5 weeks now until the launch date, and I'll be sharing more of it as we go on. Cool. So if you want to get in touch with me then, guywhodidn'tsettle@gmail.com, that's the email, or DM me on Instagram. I'm active there every day answering questions. So guywhodidn'tsettle on Instagram. How long did this one go? Fuck, 36 minutes. Lord above. I thought it'd be a 15 or 20 minute one, I guess. As we got into it, more stuff was coming out. Well, for those still listening, hope it was useful, and don't settle. Live true to yourself. We'll talk to you next.